Well, what do you say we hop right into some personal storytelling that's worth a good laugh? I used to borrow my sister's Teeny Bopper magazine so I could take the quizzes. You see, boys' magazines never had these. You know, I'd open Boys Life and there'd be stories about, you know, oh, saving a life here or earning a merit badge there, but never any quizzes. And I wanted to take a quiz. So when she wasn't looking, I would borrow those magazines and take all of the quizzes in them. Because only 17 and Teen magazine had these kinds of things. As it turns out, he's not that into me, but I am a loyal bestie. So those are some things I've come to know about myself. Now, these little quizzes were very fun to take because they offered little glimpses into personalities and relationships. It was sort of a fun way to look at life and be like, oh, maybe that's what's going on. I think they show up in different places because they play to our human curiosity to know ourselves. It's the reason there's such an industry for all those personality tests and profiles and indicators and assessments. I've taken all those too. When it comes to Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENFJ. And extrovert, who would have thought? I actually hit the bar on the exam. They'd never seen that before. Depending on which of those color methods you use, I'm either a red, a yellow, or a gold. On the Enneagram, I'm a number 3, performer, and number 2, helper. See, all these different little surveys and assessments, they're also academic and psychological in nature. This is why I'm so glad that the internet has developed these kinds of ways to look at ourselves, and let's call them very relatable ways. If I was a Star Wars character, I would be Yoda. If I was a Pixar movie, I would be Toy Story. And if I was a town in the world, I would be Cape Town. Apparently that's where I should live. I took all those 3 quizzes just in the last week. Thank you, BuzzFeed. It's sort of funny to look at these kinds of things because I know which Harry Potter character I am, which superhero I should be, and which dessert best captures my outlook on life. I didn't know such things existed, but it turns out it was pretty right. You know, I mean, there's something fun about getting to know yourself a little bit better. Even if it's as simple as which Disney princess you should marry. In my case, it happens to be Merida. Come on, strong Celtic redhead, who didn't see that one coming? All of these little assessments, whether they're internet-based or psychologist-assisted, all these little assessments are these little mirrors for us to help see ourselves differently. It's amazing how much about ourselves we can go through life not knowing. There's a lot of us that spend a good deal of life wondering where we should be going and who we are. Do we know where we are? Do we know who we are? Now, I firmly believe that not all who wander are lost, but there certainly are plenty of us who aren't sure of those kinds of details. Or maybe one day we are, and the next day we have no clue because everything's changed. Who are we? Where are we? I was having one of these conversations this week, and it was about identity and direction in life, and we got to this place of acknowledging that sometimes we're just lost. And of all things, it reminded me of one of the things I read in Boys' Life. Sometimes I did read that one too. And it reminded me of the 2 most important rules for when you're lost. First rule for when you're lost: quit moving for a moment. You gotta stop. Gotta figure out where you are. Because sometimes you may not be that lost, but if you don't stop, you end up so far off course, now it's even harder to fix the problem. First rule of being lost is to stop for a minute and look around. The second rule of being lost is you need to take a moment and take an inventory. What do I have? What's at my disposal? What's available to me? This also was always proven to me in every single MacGyver episode, because he'd realize, oh, I've got a paperclip. I can stop a bomb. These are things that are important for us to know. We look at life and we say, oh, I've got some patience. Maybe that'll help in this situation. We look at life and we say, okay, I've still got some strength. I can do this. First rule, stop and take a look around. Second rule, figure out what you've got with you. I was struck that these 2 rules also, in a way, help guide our time together as a community of faith. I mean, I think about what church is about. It's my hope that each week, in the midst of our movement through life and all the places we end up going and wandering and finding ourselves, that this, right now, this might be a moment to stop and look around. Where are we? Where are we in our lives? Now, I'm certainly not asking you to hug a tree and stay put here. But I am asking you to take a moment every week, if nothing else, find one of them and find it here, where you stop to consider where you are in your life. That first step of considering the realities that surround us begins with questions that help us orient ourselves. And from there, we then move to questions that prepare us to go into the world. You see, where am I in life moves to how am I and who am I? And as we ask these questions, I hope we might be able to take an inventory of what we have available so that we know what we've got when we leave this place. Because just like those survival skills I learned in Scouts or from MacGyver, we have to know what we have with us that can help us face whatever is going to come. We need to know what's available. And you see, we have gifts at our disposal because we've been equipped. God has equipped each and every one of us in different ways with things that we will use to make it. These gifts are part of who we are, and they have been very intentionally given to us through God's grace. They are gifts through which God's Spirit is active in the world. They're gifts that allow us to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Here's how the Apostle Paul described it to the early church. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of God's Spirit is given to each person for the good of all. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person. A word of knowledge is given to another according to that same Spirit. Faith is given to one by the Spirit. Gifts of healing to another. The performance of miracles to one. Prophecy to another. The ability to tell things apart and know the difference. And different tongues are given to others. All of these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each and every person. Paul's talking about the gifts that we get. In fact, it's setting up the conversation that we talked about in children's time of how we're all different and all of us are needed. We're a part of something bigger, but we're so unique. Paul is talking about gifts, and Paul's specifically talking about sharing your gifts, which conveniently is what we're talking about too around here. From celebrating the gift to sharing our gifts, we as a congregation have been considering all that we receive from God and all we can offer for, with, and to God. Sometimes the gifts we talk about are very general in nature. They can be a little global in application. Sometimes we talk about the kind of gifts that are followed by the phrase, for all people. Now, I love that phrase. Please know, I love that phrase. This church, Christ Church, it's built on the inclusivity of the phrase, all people. But sometimes in celebrating broad inclusivity, we miss the individual conviction. All people are called to love. All people are called to serve. You know, we even talked about the gifts God gave us through Jesus. Hope and peace and love and joy. Gifts the very angel of Christmas said are for all people. Sometimes all people can seem so big, we risk losing the conviction that we're a part of those all people. And that what we do matters. Almost need a little asterisk. For all people, including you, so pay attention. As we discuss spiritual gifts, as we discuss the gifts that God has given each of us, yes, God has given gifts to all people. But you have been given special ones that are just for you. This is a conversation about each individually gifted and unique person. This isn't just a generic reflection on all people. Because God's Spirit is at work in each and every person. And so today, I want us to consider the gifts we've been given through the Spirit. Or, in keeping with the idea of making it more personal, today I want you to consider the gifts that you have been given through God's Spirit. The Scripture, in its naming of different gifts, is its own little personality quiz. It's one you should consider taking. There's actually an online version the United Methodist Church has available. And I'm sending it out following worship to everybody on our email list. If you're not on the list, you can even write on the green card and we'll make sure you get added to it. Or you can come see me afterwards and I'll text you whatever you need. I want to make sure this link is available to you. So you can go online, ask some questions, and find out about your spiritual gifts. This is what Paul was doing, writing this letter and sending it to the church. He was trying to help people get to know themselves. Because as a part of our creation, as a part of who God made each of us to be, we've all been given gifts, and we're all equipped to offer something to the world. But for these gifts to really be used, to get something out of what we've been given, we've got to stop and realize what we have. We've got to get to know ourselves. Now, when we talk about spiritual gifts, please know I'm not talking about skills we may have learned or degrees we may have earned. Spiritual gifts can be developed and cultivated, but the gifts that we're speaking about are things that God has created in part of our very being. And there's something for everybody. Extroverts and introverts, thinkers, feelers, leaders, followers, old, young, men, women, gay, straight, everybody. Everybody has their own unique gifts that are a part of who they are, that are necessary for what we're called to do in this world. Whoever you are, whatever your comfort zone, whatever your occupation, you are gifted. And you're invited to share those gifts. Here's sort of an abbreviated list from gathered from lots of different scriptures in the New Testament. I want you to listen for something that might interest you or something you think, you know, I sort of do that. These are some of the things that God gifts us with. Administration. Creative communication. Encouragers, faith, giving, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, teaching, serving, helping, mercy, wisdom. The list goes on and on and on. To put it simply, everybody's got their something. Much of the New Testament letters are spent helping people realize that God has given them something special to share. And it's the same message today. I mean, really, we talk about this all the time, or maybe we just allude to it. There are a lot of times you will hear me talk about how we have all been called to serve. When we talk about that, or when we sing about that, we're talking about using and sharing our gifts. Because when we use and share them, we're serving God. Or when we talk about stewardship and how we're invited to do the best we can with what we have, we're talking about using and sharing our gifts. When we celebrate baptism or welcome a new member, we're inviting them to use and share their gifts. Every single week when we take our offering, we say we're offering what we have, what we do, and even more who we are. We're talking about using and sharing our gifts. So today is more than alluding to that. Today is a blatant and specific conversation starter. I want to talk to you about your gifts. Whether it's over coffee, whether it's during coffee hour, whether by email or a phone call. If you want to talk about gifts, I want to be sitting across the table from you. This is an invitation to begin looking at who we are and what we have to offer and where and how. I hope you'll take that online assessment. Because what you find there will only be as good as the conversations and reflection you give it afterward. It's just a starting point to come to know where we are and who we are and what we're capable of. So let's talk. Because you have gifts. You have them. You're probably already sharing them, whether you know it or not. But with a little bit of awareness and intention, you will find that you have even more to share. That's why we need to stop and take a look at who we are. That's why we need to stop and take an inventory of what we've been given. Because it's going to help us move forward wherever we choose to go or wherever life takes us. It'll help us be ready to make a difference. It'll help make us ready to make the world different. Because by sharing our gifts with a world that not only needs them, but needs each and every one of us, we truly will share our gifts. Amen.